Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back this weekend. It is time to shine the spotlight on TCU men's basketball as they are off to a fantastic start. Truly taking care of business. An impressive win on Tuesday night at Daniel Meyer Coliseum against Billy Gillespie's Texas Tech Red Raiders. Always a pleasure to catch up with TCU's head men's basketball coach. That, of course, is Jim Christian. And I tell you what, Jim, Christmas is still 2 weeks away, but it is the most beautiful time of the year, isn't it?
Oh, no question. It's fun for us. I mean, you know, it's been a good start to our season. I'm really happy for how our guys responded. And, again, we've been in some tough situations, and they found a way to win. So it's great confidence builders for us moving forward.
This team certainly is showing a lot of resiliency. And, you know, as we look at your schedule, here you are, what, 9 games into the season. Coach Christian, what has impressed you the most? Here you are, 7-2, unblemished record at home, 4-0. What's impressed you the most?
I think you hit on it. I think it's the resiliency of our team. We've played some really good teams. I mean, after 9 games, we've already played an ACC team, an SEC team, a Missouri Valley team on the road, and a Conference USA team on the road, and a Big 12 team. So, you know, we've challenged our guys early in the year to go and play in some tough places and play some good teams, and their closeness and their resiliency is really what we kind of put our hat on right now.
You know, Coach, and as you said, you've challenged your guys, but they're really executing on both ends of the floor. And I think what's impressed me the most from watching the guys on Tuesday night is you're playing team basketball. I mean, yeah, you had 4 players that scored in double digits, but, you know, they're making that extra pass, 6 and 7 passes in your half-court offensive set to make sure that, you know, the defense is breaking down, but they're unselfish.
I think we're trying to figure that out. I mean, I think we do it in stretchers. You know, and I thought the first half of the game Tuesday night was probably the best we've looked offensively, and the second half might have been the worst we've looked offensively. And we're still trying to figure out that consistency that you need, you know, to be a really, really good team. And we're close, but it's going to take, you know, a little bit tougher mindset and a little better understanding for us to get to where we want to be.
Okay, Jim, I am curious. What did you feed the guys in the pregame meal? Because lighten it up, 9 3-pointers in the first half. I mean, it's got to be great to kind of have that offensive threat.
Well, they were good threes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it was the way we were taking it. I'm not a big, well, we're going to shoot this number of threes. I just want to take good shots. And I thought that a lot of them came, you know, off of post-cut, post-feed, throwing the ball back out or an extra pass or, you know, in rhythm. I thought they were good ones. And when we get good ones, we can make them. It's when we take questionable ones is when the percentages go down.
Okay, talk to me about your senior guard, JR, because he really made some big plays in crunch time. I mean, wonderful stat line that he turned in, 18 points, 10 rebounds. We're talking about your guard, 10 rebounds and 3 assists. I mean, that's some serious offensive production, and that's going to help you guys a long way out.
Well, he's our best rebounder. He's averaging nearly, you know, almost 9 a game now, so I think he's a threat on both backboards. But he's really, you know, he's a second-year guy, and I think he's starting to figure out and feel comfortable everything that we're doing. You know, he's a better conditioned player, and he's improved his jump shot. I mean, last year I think he hit 1 3 on the year, and he hit 2 in that game. So I think that's a testament to how hard he's worked, and I think, you know, he's without question been our most consistent player.
You're listening to the voice of Jim Christian, TCU head men's basketball coach. Let me tell you about the Frogs, off to the best start since the 2000-2001 season. I said it's 7-2, 4-0 at home, and they need your help on Saturday night. Of course, they're going to be hosting Nebraska. We're going to talk about the Big Ten conference opponent here momentarily, but we really have to tip our hat to all of the fans, over 6,200 fans that came out on a very cold Tuesday night. Jim, what do you say to them? Because they really were that sixth man out on the floor.
Well, it was a home court advantage for us, and that's something that we've had a lot of, and I was really proud of, especially our student body. We had a great student turnout. I mean, the community always gets behind our team, but the student turnout was phenomenal. They were loud, they were into the game, and I think towards the end, I think they got, you know, Texas Tech a little bit rattled for the free throw line, and that's what you want from the crowd. That's what you want. In college basketball, it's a huge thing to have that little home court advantage. The guys kind of feed off it, and hopefully it can put a little doubt into the opposing team.
And that's critical for you guys as we look down the road, because we got to talk about the significance of this win against a Big 12 conference school. And, you know, a great coach like, you know, Billy Gillespie coming from Kentucky, I mean, he's well-known nationally, but you guys have got to be able to develop that home court advantage and, as you just said, Jim, that great atmosphere and have an energized fan base.
Yeah, I think there's no question it's coming. I think, you know, because it was a Big 12 opponent and a historical rival. I think people come out, and I think that's what kind of when we move to the Big 12 is going to happen on a nightly basis. But for us, we're not waiting for that. We're hoping our people get behind us now. We hope people come out and see this team play, you know, because our kids have worked really hard. They deserve to have some people come support them, and especially their student body and people in our community here in Fort Worth.
Well, the fans certainly played a role. I mean, they definitely got the Red Raiders rattled. We're talking about 20 turnovers, but defensively, you guys did a great job on that and capitalized. What did you guys have, 20 points off those turnovers?
Yeah, that's kind of how we've won games. You know, we forced nearly 22 a game. I think that's in the top 10 in the country.
Outstanding.
So I think that, you know, we have to guard in order to have a chance to win any of these games. And you know, we're still trying to get better. There's still stretches where, you know, I think we let too many easy things happen, but we're getting better, and as our guys, especially the new guys, develop and feel more comfortable on the defensive end of the floor, I think that's going to be a constant for us.
Okay, another guy we've got to recognize, Jim, is Garland Green, because he led a strong outside scoring attack, hit 3 three-pointers, and he was very instrumental. We definitely have to, you know, shine some praise on him.
No question. I mean, he was starting early in the year. We bring him off the bench now. His minutes haven't changed, but I think his production has gone up, and that's a great thing for him to, you know, to buy into that role and be that guy for us. And you know, he's a great shooter. There's no question. I knew he was going to have a breakout shooting game one of these games, and he really stepped up, especially in the first half for us.
Okay, another guy that you did talk about in postgame was Craig Williams, a guy coming off the bench, a bright spot, 14 minutes. He hit a three, he had a steal, he played aggressive, and you like that mindset.
The big thing that Craig did in that game is he made back-to-back good plays. So he hit a three, made a steal, he took 3 charges. You know, got his hand on a lot of balls around the basket, got some big rebounds. I mean, in 14 minutes, I thought he won the game for us. He just played by eliminating some of the possessions that they had or opportunities where they could have scored, and he just made a really good team defensive play.
Jim Christian is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to encourage you guys, go out and support his Frogs Saturday night. It's a 7 o'clock tip. Go to gofrogs.com to get your tickets, or just show up right there at Daniel Meyer Coliseum. They'll get you in. They'll take great care of you. And, of course, let's talk about this challenge on Saturday night, because it is a Big Ten Conference opponent. Doc Sadler's teams, you know, he's not always had, you know, when we remember him in the Big 12, he's not always had the best talent. But defensively, they do a really good job.
Yeah, and he's got talent now. I mean, he's got guys who've been with him now for a little bit. Their experience, especially in the front court, you know, they pose a lot of problems up there. They have really explosive guards. They got a transfer from LSU, Spencer, who's just can create shots, and they have some big wings. They're a very, very good basketball team all the way around. I mean, very competitive, but no question, one of the better defensive teams in the country.
How do you think you'll defend him? Because you talk about the front court, they've got a pair of 6'11" centers defensively. What kind of adjustments can we look for?
Well, again, I think it's more those guys doing their work early and not allowing them the position that they want and putting pressure on the perimeter, because I think if, regardless of what you do, if you let them get the ball in positions they're comfortable and the people feeding the post are comfortable on the perimeter, it's a lot of problems. So it's going to be it's got to be a well-rounded attack by us to try to take them out of what they do.
A well-rounded attack. You guys got off to a fast start, you know, against Tech, but really it's important that you guys get off to a fast start in that second half, correct?
Yeah, they're 40-minute games. There's no question this is going to be a 40-minute game, and that's kind of been our thing. I mean, we played well and sustained it, although, again, basketball's a game of runs. I mean, you know, they're going to make a run at some point in time, and I think the one thing that I'm proud of this team is we've been able to withstand it. You know, in the past we might have, you know, succumb to it and just not play the rest of the night. So we step back up. We have to be, you know, a team that utilizes our depth and plays 40 minutes. And I think the bench is a huge part of that. I think that when guys come in and kind of re-energize the team, I think that's when we've played well.
Okay, and also a focal point on Saturday night will be rebounding. You guys were out-rebounded by Texas Tech. And as I just mentioned, you know, Nebraska, they've got some big guys. You got to get a body on them, block them out, and move them out of the lane.
Got to go get the ball. I think it's not contact as much as it is pursuing the basketball. I thought that they beat us to a couple balls, especially some big plays. You know, I think sometimes we wait for one guy to get it instead of just going to get the basketball. But those are huge keys without question.
Outstanding. Well, Jim, listen, good luck on Saturday night, and we'll catch up with you again real soon.
Okay, thanks, Alyssa.
You bet. We want to encourage you guys to go to gofrogs.com to get tickets, and we'll be right back with much, much more.
Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing, and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompleteProductionServices.com.
Elissa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Ow. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big.
We are continuing with our news and notes around college football, and truly one of the big, big storylines has been the fact that Urban Meyer is returning to college football. He is now, of course, the head coach for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And if anybody can provide the inside scoop is nationally known sports writer Buddy Martin, that has covered him throughout his time at Florida and those two national championships, wrote a book about him, and we are always delighted to have you back with us. Buddy, how are you?
I'm doing well. This is good to hear from you again.
Well, it's great to have you on, and we're going to get right to it because it is big, big news that had been long speculated on Urban Meyer. It's not surprising. I mean, he has such an outstanding resume. We knew that it was only going to be a matter of time before he would return. But I have to point out to our listeners, as I understand, you've spent time with Urban just recently. Did he give you any indication that he was making a serious return?
Well, he did indicate that, and it was a private conversation, and one was off the record. So I didn't write about it or really talk about it much on the radio because, you know, what he says his friends is we keep it as friends. But he told me at that meeting that he was really seriously thinking about returning to coaching. He had hoped it would be 2 years. And, of course, we didn't mention specifics, but we both knew what we're talking about, which is Ohio State. And he knew and I knew that if Ohio State came at him, he was going to, which we figured they would, he was going to have to make a hard decision. What he told me that day was, he said, I haven't really talked to Shelly about it yet. I don't want to say too much, but I'm feeling really great. He said, I'm not thinking about any specific school right now or any specific job. I'm loving being home here, having my two TV studio in my house, which he has. ESPN has a total studio there. I've only gone a couple days a week. I've seen my son play football and baseball. My girls play volleyball. And he says, I've gained 37 pounds, which he on purpose because he was so skinny for all the weight he lost, and he's working out every day. So he was loving life, really, at that point in time. That was about 9 weeks ago. And, of course, when the job came open, the only thing that could have stopped him, probably, other than his own decision, that no, he didn't want to do this, or if his family said no, you can't do that. His family might have signed a contract. I'm not sure what the contents of that contract were, but they were a lot stricter than when he signed with Ohio State, I can tell you that. And so he thinks he can maybe handle it better now. He doesn't want to return to be a quote-unquote out-of-control coach, and he feels like he's ready to go back to the game. So even though he's being criticized by a lot of people, it's amazing how people like to blame the former coach at a place like this. He's out to get back in the game, and he's in, and I think he'll do well.
You mentioned his wife, Shelley, of course, and as she had talked about, that she feels confident that Urban can, you know, find balance at Ohio State. You shared a little bit with me that, you know, Urban seemed to be a little bit different in terms of, you know, he's grown a lot even spiritually, that he's had a chance to reflect on what perhaps that he would do differently. Is that possible, being a head football coach at Ohio State, where the level of expectation is very high? They want to get back to winning and competing for a national championship. Is he going to be able to do that?
Well, I think that's the big question that has to be answered by Urban. He gave me a copy of the book and said, read this. The book was called Lead for God's Sake. It's about a high school coach. It's a fictional book in Kentucky who basically, I want to say sold his soul, but was willing to give up almost everything to win. And he read that book and he said, I saw myself in that. I don't want to be that kind of person. And so he thinks he's achieving some balance spiritually. Urban is a very spiritual person. People who don't know him don't know that. I think he truly believes his mission and his ministry is to change the lives of young men. Now, a lot of people are mad at Urban right now. They're saying, well, he was a hypocrite. He said he left his family. He left his job because of his family. How come he's coaching so quick? He left the cupboard bare. Da-da-da-da-da. I say to that, I mean, if you thought you were dying, which you thought he was, when he had that scare of a heart attack, back in 08, no, 09, excuse me, and you thought you were dying, it would change your life a little bit too. The fact he was able to come back and actually take the job back over, and at least try to take it back over, was as much for his coaching staff as himself to keep them employed, keep them at the program, to keep it going. So I think it's I think it's really wrong for people to say, well, he left the cupboard bare. when he had two top five recruiting classes in a row, you know, and even though 11 of those players are gone now, well, that's not his fault. You know, they have to be developed. So I think there's a lot about blaming the other guy here, which I don't think Will Muschamp is doing necessarily, but it's like that cable guy who comes in your house and said, I don't know who worked on your cable last time, but boy, he sure screwed that up.
Buddy Martin is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. He's been on our program many times. Well-known sports writer, of course, wrote the book Urban's Way, The Florida Gators and His Plan to Win. Of course, we're talking about Urban Meyer. And I am curious, give us a pulse on the Gators Nation. You said that, you know, they're a little restless, you know, not so happy with Urban right now. But, you know, what has been their take on how Will Muschamp has done this past season?
Well, he's done poorly, and they can't quite figure it out. They're alarmed. Some of them are defecting, as you do when programs fall off, like this one has fallen off.
But they got off to a great start, though, Buddy.
Well, but they had October, and we knew that coming in. We talked about it in the summer. 0 for October was a possibility, and that's exactly what happened. They not only went 0 for October, were physically beaten up by Alabama, LSU, teams of that nature. And then even Georgia was able to beat them this year. And quite frankly, there was no game that was a sure thing. Urban went from going like 13-3 against his rivals to this year, all his rivals beating Florida. You can't lose to Georgia and South Carolina and those teams and FSU and keep Gator fans happy. So I think it's a really dangerous time in the Florida program right now to see if whether he can turn it around, because who knows what happens next year if he doesn't win 8 or 9 games. Which, you know, according to what we're hearing, he's basically run off about 11 or 12 players. So out of this recruiting class. So it's a really scary time for Gator fans right now.
Well, we'll keep our eye on the Gators, but let's get back on topic and talk about Urban Meyer. Now, what can we expect out of his first season? It's got to be anything better than, 6-6, 3-5 in the Big Ten Conference. I mean, Ohio State fans, they're looking forward to a fresh start after such a disappointing year. And, we've got these pending NCAA sanctions.
Yeah, and Urban, I think he'll overcome the pending NCAA problems in terms of scholarships. The thing Urban does better than anybody gives him credit for is develop players. He's done that through walk-on programs and people who are marginal players by involving all of them in special teams. And if you look at his roster, he'll play 80 players, and not all at one time, obviously, but, he'll play a lot of guys. Because you won't see, he has like different units, kickoff coverage, kickoff, punt coverage, punt, whatever. He believes in going through the roster. He'll develop players that way because he learned that at Bowling Green. You have to be able to do that, strength in numbers. He's a very good recruiter. He'll get players. He has the tradition of Ohio State. And if you look back at his record in his first year, every year where he's been pretty successful, but has been really successful in the second and third years.
Well, and he's very good at securing a strong coaching staff, as I understand. I mean, he's had a lot of phone calls from really talented individuals across, the board that would like to have the opportunity to come and work with him. And he's such an excellent recruiter. And he's got that go-hard kind of style. And so that's going to pay. I can't anticipate. I mean, how long do you think it truly will take? We're talking 1 to 2 years before they get back to national prominence? Or
I think Ohio State starts contending right away for a Big Ten championship. I think Michigan's much better. Who knows what Penn State will do, but I think there are some opportunities. I think Wisconsin certainly has a program going in the right direction. I think Urban will be playing at that level pretty quick.
Okay, my final question for you as we wrap it up is, I am not a Denver Bronco fan. I just have to share that with you, but I'm turning into one because who knew Tim Tebow would win my heart? I am so proud of him and just how he's going out there and just, I don't know, the critics don't even know what to say. They're saying it's a higher power. What can you say about Tim Tebow?
Well, I'll say what I said 3 years ago. I'll say what I said when I was writing for Gator Country back in the day. How in the world can people keep their jobs when they predict flatly he will be a failure? He will not be drafted in the first round. He will not be able to play in the NFL, and certainly won't start, and certainly will never win in the NFL. These are people who have been saying it, not the least of which is people like Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, Merrill Hodge, who continue up to the very last minute try to say, well, the teams he beat weren't that good. And next week, he can't really score a lot of points. And then he scores points. Well, that was a fluke that he did. It's all, no. What else does the kid have to do for people to understand this guy can play at the highest level. I haven't changed my story in 3 years. I'm not that smart. Certainly, guys who make their living at it can be a little smarter.
Well, it's a lot of fun to watch, and the storyline just continues to unfold. So, Buddy, thanks again, and tell all of our listeners where they can check out your information online.
Well, I can be actually heard on the air on WOCA.com every afternoon from 3 to 6. Part of it's sports, part of it's not. I do a blog from time to time, but I've pushed back from the writing for a little bit. I've got some ideas on a book, which I'll talk to you about next time.
Outstanding. We'll look forward to catching up with you, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Lisa.
We're
going to
step aside. Jason Peter will be with us in just a moment.